إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, I am in London. Arrived here last evening. Alhamdulillah, very smooth as always. And London is London, which means that it's cold and wet, but the temperature is about, yesterday was about 7 degrees. So I can't complain because Hyderabad currently is close to that as well. But here it's also wet. As I was driving to the hotel, I was thinking to myself a little bit about the history of London. It's an absolutely amazing place. Quite frankly, it is my favorite city. If anyone asks me what is my favorite city, I would say it is London, because the kind of vibrancy that I feel here, the amazing variety of things to do and see, and the sheer sense of history that is there in this city is absolutely unparalleled anywhere in the world. So it's a quite an amazing place. Now, I'm so going back quickly to the history of London. I was thinking myself, you know, what do I see from this and what do I understand and how is it relevant to whatever I have to say to you. I'm not talking about here, not doing a history lesson for the sake of the history lesson, but because this is important for us to remember history. It's history teaches us lessons, and those who do not learn from history are condemned to repeat it. Now, so London, if you, in one line, if you look at historically what is happening in London, is, as they said in one line, life was nasty, brutal, and short. This was the situation of the same city, for example, in 1665 and 1666, which was the probably one of the, if not one, if not the most, the worst, definitely one of the worst years of the city, where 1665, 1666. Saw two terrible calamities. One was the bubonic plague, which swept the city like wildfire, and then there was the actual fire of London, which completely gutted the medieval city of London, which was the Roman city and which was in the Roman walls. And that happened also in the same year. So it was complete destruction, I mean, total. Absolutely, you know, as I said, one of the worst years. Life at that time in London, I'm asking Azhar to make a flow chart of this, so all of these dates will be put into a visual format so that you can visualize the history. That's how history should be taught anyway. So, if you look at life at that time, the city used to have a permanent pall of smoke around it. All over it, which turned into thick smog. You couldn't even see your hand if you held it out in front of your face, because of the smoke of the cooking fires, combined with the fog that rose from the River Thames. And that was the situation. The ground underfoot was used to be slushy, full of human and animal feces. Entrails and intestines of animals which had been slaughtered, the blood of animals which had been slaughtered, everything ran in the streets. And people actually walked, they used to wear clogs, they used to wear overshoes over their shoes, so that they, you know, the shoes didn't get that dirty. You walked ankle deep in this slush, which was a combination of liquid mud and feces and blood. And this was London. Today you come here and you see, you know what you see. The society was hugely feudal. There was the king, who was an absolute monarch. Later on, with the Magna Carta, some of his powers got diluted, but it was a feudal society. Feudal lords ruled. The rest of the people had, individually, they were nothing. But as we read the history, we find how people dealt with all this and how they were able to get power. And it didn't come easy. I mean, it did not come easy. It was the result of very, very strong work over generation after generation. And that's how, how people got power. And today, if you look at the parliamentary, parliamentary form of government, again comes from here, from London. So the issue of saying, well, how did all this happen, right? You had a city which was at that time, if you looked at it, very, very full of ignorance and full of misery. But later, what did that city become? And that's the and it gave and continues to give leadership to the world from that time onwards, right? So the issue is how and what. Again, please don't get sidetracked with the issues of what this leadership has. Of the British Empire has done, if you are looking at human rights issues, if you are looking at the colonialism and so on and so forth. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying that people do what is in their best interest. The point is to see what made them successful in that and what didn't make them successful. Now, we're talking about, therefore, these times. So, if we take a history of 1,000 years, say from year 1000 to year 2000, what do we see in that? We see in the Muslim world the Abbasid Khilafah, which was from 750 to 1258, so about 300 years before, 200 something years before the year 1000, to 200 something years after the year 1000. So 750 to 1258 was the Abbasid Khilafah. So around year 1000 that we are talking about here, the Abbasid Khilafah would have was on the upsurge. Baghdad became a center of learning, and a lot of the ideas that eventually led to the Renaissance in Europe, and which contributed to a lot of the development of thought and so forth in England, came out of Baghdad. At that time, in 1028, if I have the date correctly, that was when Oxford University was set up in England. Oxford, incidentally, was set up as a religious college of religious education, a seminary. It was a seminary. So, Oxford was a Darul Uloom, and the teaching was only of Christianity, and it was in Latin. And then later on, of course, it grew to become a university that we know today. So, same. That is the period. Then the Ottoman Empire started in 1299 and went on to 1922. So, there was a period when the Ottoman Empire was contemporary with the Abbasid Khilafah. But at that time, if you look at what were the educational institutions in terms of universities, I'm talking about large-scale education university institutions, we do not see too many names in the Ottoman Empire or in the Abbasid Khilafah. Yes, the form of teaching methodology was different. people went to individual ustads and learnt, individual teachers and learnt. They didn't learn from, they didn't go to university. The merits and demerits of both the systems can be discussed. It is true we have, we had what is called the ijaza system, which we have till today, alhamdulillah, where a student was given the ijaza to teach that subject, so he was declared an expert. Many of our educationists today, they say that the awarding of a PhD is equivalent to that. I'm not, you know, denigrating any of that. I'm not denying it. But I'm just saying that taking something and trying to draw parallels to make yourself look good is indicative itself of something else. The Ottoman Empire, as I said, 1299 to 1922, when it was destroyed, in Topkapi Palace, which is one of the tourist spots today in Istanbul, was built in 1459, or rather construction was started in 1459, went on for centuries. What was happening in the 1400s and 1500s? When Topkapi Palace was being built in 1459, Eton College had already been started by Henry VI, Royal Charter of Henry VI in 1440. Now you might say, well, what was the situation in Topkapi in Turkey, and what was the situation in the UK? Turkey, Ottoman Empire was at its power, peak of its power. There was stability in the land, there was a lot of money, a lot of resources. In England at that time, Henry VI was a very weak ruler of the House of Lancaster. He was in deep depression, and then later on he also went into a state which today would be, you know, dementia perhaps. However, he set up a college, he set up a school called Eton College. This for 70 orphans, initially it was started for 70 orphans, who then went on to King's College in Oxford. So when he started Eton in 1440, Oxford had already been in existence for 400 years, starting from 1028. Situation in England at that time was terrible, because this was at in the middle, it was at the end of the it was at the end of the Hundred Years' War, which the House of Plantagenet fought with France from 1337 to 1453. At the end of that, there was what is called the War of the Roses, which was the war between the House of Lancaster and the House of Plantagenet from 1455 to 1487. Which eventually resulted in the extinction of both of these houses, one by the other, or rather the House of Plantagenet or the House of York was instrumental in extinguishing the House of Lancaster. So the Lancastrian dynasty came to an end. And then the House of Plantagenet or the House of York was also itself extinguished by the Tudors, and that's where the Tudors came into power in 1487. Now, when they came into power in 1487, Tudors are the current ruling family in the UK. In 1572, Queen Elizabeth I set up, she gave her royal charter for the setting up of Harrow, which is another school. Now, think about this, that here you have, the reason I'm describing this is because these schools were set up not at times of peace and harmony. They were set up in the middle of wars. They were set up in the middle of all kinds of trials and tribulations. And they were set up, both Eton and Harrow, by a king and a queen. The issue is to think about this and say, why and what is it that distinguishes thinking of one kind from thinking of another kind. Take, for example, the Ottoman Empire, as I said, 1299 to 1922. The Topkapi Palace came into being 1459, and then later on in 1843 to 1856 was built the Dolmabahçe Palace. Then in 1922, the empire ended. So when the focus shifted from education, in the case of Ottomans, of course, also conquest, but the Abbasids were mostly into education, into knowledge-based, you know, in that sense. When the focus shifted from there into luxury, into self-indulgence, we see the result of that. Alhambra, for example, was built in 1333. So again, we are looking at when Alhambra was built, Oxford University had already been in existence for 300 years. Final one, if you say, well, you know, this is what was happening in those days. If you look at at India, the Taj Mahal was built in 1631. The construction was from 1631 to 1648. And during that period, in 1636, which is 5 years after the Taj Mahal had been, construction had been started, Harvard University was founded in the US. And that's why I say sometimes very sadly, that that's the reason why they have the world and we have the tombs. Ask myself and you, my brothers and sisters, to look at ourselves today and say, where is our focus? What are we focused on? Are we focused on ostentation, on comfort, on luxury, on spending, on materialistic thinking? Or are we focused on education, on the development of the of our knowledge base, of applying that knowledge in this life? What are we trying to do? Seriously, we have to ask ourselves these questions, because history is replete with lessons, but all those lessons are only for those who are willing to understand, who are willing to listen, who are willing to understand. So seriously, ask myself and you, I mean, today, just a reflective thing that I want to leave this thing with you, to say that I'm comparing two civilizations, if you want to call it. One is the British and the other one is the Arab Muslim civilization. And I'm giving you, I'm saying Arab and Muslim because it's also Turkish, it's also to some extent Indian. And I'm giving you some dates and some facts. I will leave you to draw your own conclusions. I don't want to say anything about the conclusions. To me, they are pretty clear. I will leave you to draw your own conclusions. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to see things for what they are and then to make an investment in ourselves. Believe me, what the British have today and what they got all through in terms of the British Empire and so on and so forth. Bismillah ta'ala, if you have the time and the energy tomorrow, maybe we will talk something about that. It didn't come easy. It came as a result of huge, huge investment of time and energy and money and people's lives. People gave their lives. People worked very, very hard to achieve what they achieved. And they continue to do that. They continue to do that. Irrespective of the fact that the actual physical empire has shrunk to this one little island, the fact remains that the influence, the cultural influence, the political influence, the economic influence — London is the center of money for the world. The economic influence of the world, of the British Empire, continues. I mean, there's no, there's nothing, you know, that hasn't declined. Again, as I said, we are not getting into whether what they did and what they are doing is good or bad or right or wrong. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying, is it effective or not? Are they achieving whatever they set out to achieve or not? Think about that. I think without objective thinking, this emotional soup that we like to call our thinking is very destructive. We need to be able to think clearly and objectively. And if we do that, then the lessons are absolutely clear. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to see that which is before our eyes and to distinguish between sight and vision. As Helen Keller said, somebody asked her, what is worse than not having eyesight? She said, to have eyesight and not to have vision. And I think that is very important for us to remember and think about. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك.